The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Is heaven a real place? What will our bodies look like? Will we be married?
That is one of the greatest misconceptions about heaven, that heaven is up there in outer space somewhere. Revelation 21 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven to earth." That's going to be our major place of dwelling right here. And to me, that's exciting.
Coming up on Life Today, Pastor Robert Jeffress answers common questions about heaven.
We appreciate you being here, and we welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to have Dr. Robert Jeffress with us. He is not only one of our favorite people on this earth and one of our favorite preachers, but he pastors one of our favorite churches. As a matter of fact, if you don't know about First Baptist Church Dallas, let me just tell you, the impact and imprint of Almighty God left on planet Earth through First Baptist Church is eternal. And the impact they had on my life, beginning when I was a very young man, and Dr. Crystal asked me to start preaching there. You may not know this, but he asked me to preach there every off Sunday I had as a crusade preacher. And he was always there and always listening to me. I even had him go sit out front where I could preach straight to him. And he just loved it. I love it. I love it. You know, he's just cranking it up. But this church, I want to say to all of you, you really have blessed millions of people. Billy Graham was a member there when I was preaching there. My, how you've blessed him. What a treasure he's been. What a treasure you are. Love your new facility. I love the pastor that you're sending out with a message that's being heard like a clear clarion call to call people back to God's Word and His truth. This book, Perfect Ending, it's not an escape plan. It really is clear insight into why things matter and why they should excite us. The Perfect Ending, it's a book of prophecy, but it's full of wisdom. It's not foolish dialogue and debate. It is well written by a true Bible scholar who loves everybody, and he wants us to be a family. Would you welcome Dr. Robert Jeffress to Life Today?
Thank you so much, James. Betty, great to see you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I know you are ready to go. You know what? He came and he said, "I tell you what, ask me this, this, and this, this." And let me tell you what, he's right. If he could interview himself, it would be better. But just listen to this, because I want to see if he can get through all this. Why did you write the book? Heaven's not the same for everyone. There are degrees. What is heaven going to be like? What are we going to be doing in heaven? How can one be sure they're going to heaven? I can't beat that, so just take number one and take off, Doc. That is great stuff.
Well, thanks for having me.
It really is.
And by the way, I was a teenager sitting in the balcony of the First Baptist Church in Dallas when you were preaching during those years down there, and you inspired me then, and you and Betty do now. And so thank you for what
thank
you mean
you
to this
that.
World.
Well, thank you.
You know, a lot of people wonder about why a book on Bible prophecy, because frankly, it's out of vogue right now. A lot of people aren't talking about Bible prophecy. Some people think it's too confusing. Refusing to understand. They think you have to have a PhD in theology or at least be proficient at tea leaf reading in order to understand the end times. You know, there are Christians who reach for a Tylenol bottle whenever their read through the Bible plan lands them in Revelation. They think, oh no, this is just too complicated. And yet, God put so much information in the Bible about the future. For every one promise about the first coming of Christ, there are eight prophecies about the second coming of Christ. And no, we can't know the when. I'm not Harold Camping reincarnated, one of these guys trying to set the dates of the rapture. But I think God does want us to understand. There are other people out there who say, well, why should I study prophecy? It's so irrelevant to my everyday life. Mm. I may be talking out there to a woman right now who said, you know, I'm not as nearly concerned with the beast in Revelation 13 as I am the beast I'm married to right now and how I'm going to get along with him. People think it's not relevant, but the fact is the Bible never divorces the truth of Christ's future return with our present responsibility. You know, if there really is going to be a rapture when Christians are caught up to meet the Lord in the air and we leave everything behind, shouldn't that cause us to hold our possessions a little more loosely right
Absolutely.
Now? I mean, if there really is going to be a great white throne judgment like Revelation 20 prophesies, when all unbelievers will be judged and sentenced to an eternity in hell, shouldn't that be an incentive for us right now to share Christ with everyone
Absolutely.
We know? I mean, if there really is a judgment seat of Christ where we as Christians are going to appear and be evaluated and be rewarded for what we've done or haven't done, shouldn't that make us have a God-centered life right now? You know, James and Betty, I hear all the time people say, well, some Christians are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. I've never met a Christian like that. Most of the Christians I deal with, the problem I deal with in my own life is being so earthly minded, I am no heavenly good. God wants us to think about the future, not as an escape. I think about C.S. Lewis, and I write in my book a quote of Lewis's. He said, history has shown that the Christians who make the most difference in this world are the ones who think most about the second world and the next world. And that's why I wrote
they
perfect
actually
ending.
Think in light of eternity.
That's right. They have an eternal mindset.
That's a God perspective.
Yeah. And you know, the subtitle of Perfect Ending is Why Your Eternal Future Matters Today. Because this book is not just a book of information. It's a book about transformation, how the truth of Christ's second coming ought to impact your life. But, you know, I'd say to people watching right now, the opposite is true, too, and that is, what we do today matters for eternity. I mean, I'm talking out there right now to a mom who's has a house full of preschoolers, and you're wondering, I mean, can I stand this any longer? How much longer is this going to go on? What you're doing today really does matter for eternity.
Yes, it does.
Are there some of you right now who are in a difficult marriage, and you're really wondering, am I going to stay in this marriage, or am I going to do the easy thing and leave? Well, the truth is, obeying Christ and doing the hard thing has eternal consequences. And that's what I'm trying to do in Perfect Ending, talk about why the future really makes a difference today.
It does. You actually talk about that we will have rewards. I find in my own life that when I bless someone, I get an immeasurable, indescribable
yes.
blessing out of it.
Yes.
To serve others really is the greatest work in, as far as kingdom work. And I get a blessing out of that. But you are pointing out very clearly that there actually will be some rewards
yeah.
in heaven. And so, and that should excite people?
That's right. I mean, one of the greatest lies about heaven is it's going to be the same for everybody. No, it's not. It's not the ultimate in socialism where everybody gets the same thing. There are degrees of heaven. And the fact is, our good works do absolutely nothing to secure our salvation. But after we're saved, they have a great deal to say about our eternity. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, and he was talking to Christians, he said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may be rewarded for what we've done in the body, whether it be good or worthless. And the Bible says we're going to have our life evaluated. 1 Corinthians 3 says it will be the fire of God's judgment that will determine whether our life has been wood, hay, or straw, or gold, silver, and precious stone. And it goes on to say that the person whose life is judged to be worthless, he will suffer loss, even though he himself will be saved. You know, people ask me all the time, are you saying people can actually have regret in heaven? Yes. The Bible says people will suffer real measurable loss when they see what could have been theirs had they been more faithful to Christ. And people say, well, how can you have inexpressible joy in heaven and also regret in heaven? I like to use this illustration. Imagine that you're asleep one night. Suddenly you smell smoke in your house. You realize your house is on fire. You grab your mate, hopefully, and you know, you grope through the smoke and you kick out a window and you jump out the window. You're standing there on your front lawn watching your house go up in flames. What's going to be your motivation, your feeling right then? Certainly there's going to be joy that you escaped the flames and that you're alive. But there's also going to be a sadness as you see everything you have burned up. That's going to be true in heaven. The fact is, whatever these rewards are, I think there's special praise from the Master we're going to receive if we earn rewards. I think it's going to be special privileges in heaven that the Bible talks about. It's going to be special positions of authority that we're going to have. Whatever these rewards are, the Bible says they are worth working for. And again, to those of you watching right now, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a world-famous evangelist or television personalities on Christian television to earn rewards. You know, A.W. Tozer said it's not what a person does that determines whether his work is sacred or secular. It's why he or she does it. That's and whatever you're doing out there, if it is doing it for the Lord, there are going to be rewards in heaven for you.
Well, you know, I feel like I do that. I'm motivated to bless others and bless the Lord. I want you to go, let's touch some of these others now. I want to be sure you don't forget your outline here because we've got it written down. You said that what's it going to be like? That's one of the questions you wanted to ask.
Yeah, you know, one of these things I do in the book, Perfect Ending, the last chapter I talk about heaven. And I know heaven's especially meaningful to you all right now. Absolutely. Robin is already there, yes, and yes. We're all going to be there soon, yes, to see her again. But I answer the 10 most frequently asked questions about heaven. Now, there's a lot of misinformation out there about heaven. And let's face it, the Bible doesn't tell us everything about heaven. There's a lot of questions that are unanswered. People ask me, well, why is that? And moms who are watching can understand this. Imagine you seat your child at dinner and you put a plate in front of the child with roast beef and carrots and spinach, but over to the side is a bowl of Bluebell ice cream with chocolate syrup on. Your child's going to have a hard time concentrating on the meal without going straight to dessert. And I really think if we knew what really awaited us in heaven, we'd have a hard time preaching sermons or doing these television programs. I mean, we'd want to end it all and get to our reward. So I think that's why God hasn't revealed everything, right, but he's told us just enough to whet our appetites.
Yes, sir.
And I really believe instead of depending on extra biblical information about heaven, we ought to see what the Bible says. And there are some amazing things, these 10 questions people have about heaven. Any of them strike you that you're interested in about heaven, James?
No, you're going to take off on it. I want to hear what you
well,
say.
Well, you know
what? You know what the ones are that you touched on that you.
Well,
you know
I don't know. Some of the people ask me, they have really deep theological questions like, are my pets going to be in heaven? Yeah. You know, they want to know about that. And
me and Randy Alcorn think they will be. So if you need a little help on that, Randy, and I'll help you.
You know,
now we got some people who think if their pet's there, we ain't going.
Other people wonder if there's going to be marriage in heaven, and I have some church members who are more upset that their pets aren't going to be in heaven than they're not going to be married in heaven. I don't know if that's true for you or not, but the Bible talks about, for example, marriage in heaven. Luke 20, no, we're not going to be married in heaven.
Will I know her?
Yes, you will know her. And that's another question. Yeah, so get along. Keep getting along because it's going to make an eternal difference.
Well, it's going to be, and I think you point this out, and I think it's very important, it's going to be a whole lot like Earth because it'll be a new Earth. It's not like God made a mistake in the first place.
That is one of the greatest misconceptions about heaven, that heaven is up there in outer space somewhere. And the fact is, after this present heaven and earth are destroyed, Revelation 21 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven to earth. We're not floating around up there. It's going to be our main dwelling place is going to be this new recreated earth, just like God intended it. It's Eden restored. That's going to be our major place of dwelling right here. And to me, that's exciting.
It is,
I don't have
mosquitoes.
To dread some
I'm telling you, no
place.
Mosquitoes.
Yeah. That's right.
I promise.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Now, what are we going to do up there? Is it just going to be play a harp and sing, wear a halo?
You know, people, of course, non-Christians have the idea of floating on the cloud, plucking the heart, but even Christians have the heart idea that, well, it's just going to be a 24/7 worship service. It's just going to be church 24/7. Now, to some people, that sounds more like hell than it does heaven, you know. Now, look, let's be honest. I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here. We are going to be worshiping God. Revelation talks about pure, unadulterated worship of God, but that's not all we're doing. You see, we were created to do more than worship. We were created to work as well. God made us in His image. God is a worker. He created us to be workers. Remember Adam and Eve? Before the fall, they worked. God said, you're to cultivate the earth and to keep it. Mm-hmm. Now, they worshiped God while they were doing it,
right,
but they also worked. It's going to be that same way for us. Now, I know some of our audience are probably thinking right now, eternity of working, that sounds like hell to me. I mean, what about my 401k plan in retirement? And then you're telling me I give it all up and go back to work again. Think about this. The reason we don't enjoy work, even though we were created to work, is because we have bodies that get tired. Mm-hmm. We have strained relationships with other people. We have government regulations to deal with. All those things are going to be removed. We're going to enjoy work and accomplishment like God meant us to do. And again, this is a little bit of conjecture on my part, but I wouldn't be surprised if our work in heaven doesn't mirror something that we've done here on earth. You know, a lot of people think, well, this world, there's a great dividing line between our life on earth and our life in heaven. God sees our life as a continuum. We were talking about our friend Randy Alcorn. He says, you know, earth is a running start either into heaven or into hell. And the fact is, I think there is a continuum between life
because
here
and God gave us all different gifts.
That's right.
Why would that diminish?
That's exactly right. And, you know, you ask about people knowing one another in heaven. If you want to know what our bodies are going to be like in heaven, just look at Luke 24 and Jesus' resurrected body. The Bible says Jesus was the prototype, prototokos in Greek. He was the first of those who will be raised from the dead. His body was a prototype of what our bodies are going to be like. You know, Jesus was recognizable to his disciples, Luke 24. He certainly had a body that was superior to his earthly body. He could go through doors and do all this sort of thing. But his body was similar to his present body because people recognized him. He was able to eat. His disciples watched him, you know, pack down a big meal of fish. And isn't that great news to know we're going to eat in heaven? That's probably the best news some of people have heard all day in this program. But our bodies are going to resemble, but they're going to be superior to our earthly bodies.
And I think the most important thing that Dr. Jeffers makes clear, the way to heaven, and there's only one way, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, Jesus said, but by me, Jesus. Do you know Jesus? That's the way to heaven. He says, call upon me. Ask. You will receive. You don't have to beg. Would you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life? Give me new life. I want to lose my life in your purpose and your will. And therein you will find it. Father, I pray for every person watching right now. You've touched hearts. Many are excited and interested about what Dr. Jeffers has shared. I pray they'll meet the Jesus he's lifted up, become excited about the future he's prepared for them, and trust the Lord Jesus today, right where they are. Pray that for them in Jesus' name. If you've given your life to Christ right where you are, you call. Someone will pray with you, or you can ask them a question. They'll be happy to pray along with you. We want to send this wonderful book to every one of you who will do something we would like you to consider. Dr. Jeffers, I want to ask everyone watching to help us give someone a cup of water.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
You know, we tell our viewers we don't sell gifts. We don't sell things. They're gifts. But we ask people to make a gift.
Yes.
And we want to give them something to inspire them. We're going to do that. I want our viewers and all of us sitting here and in the studio, I want you to look and listen. See if you hear God prompting you to do something, something very significant, something very eternal. Please watch.
She moved so slowly. No, she hardly moved at all. And no tears fell, because that well had run dry. While no picture of health, Rowan has been drained of life, the kind of life found in your role as a mother. Death came. It took from Rowan, but then it took again, and again, and again. In this heat, the average person can survive only a few days without water. Though this water might extend the life, it eventually takes it, especially children, because their immune systems are too weak for that fight.
Yum, chồng ta chút kê tha bố khiêm ọt chạp ta hiêm nực khơi ta nát con.
Trauma has taken its toll, but because the water which took her children is still their only source, Rowan knows that unless something is done to provide clean water, at any moment, she could lose all that remains.
Our beautiful daughters, several of our grandchildren born with beautiful black eyes like that little girl. And when Betty and I saw Rowan and heard her story, we immediately drilled a well in her village. But there are so many other areas right there with her where we need to drill another one. But I wanted to tell Rowan and that little girl with those big black eyes, honey, God cares and cares through us and shares through us. Now, Betty and I joyfully, from the time we started drilling water wells, asked God to always let us drill them. And right now, it's gone up from when it started, 3,600, when we started, 48. It could go higher. I pray God will always let us and enable us to do it. But we're asking you to do all you can because we believe God has shown us the places to drill 500 wells. We are convinced the water's there. Sometimes a borehole will tell you. But we know we can do it, but we need your help to do it. And let's do it together and help the missionaries that have pointed us to the place. Betty, I believe that God's going to answer the heart cry of many mothers like that in behalf of their children.
I do too, James. And I think you're a part of that answer. You're a part of the giving, reaching out and giving them hope. A mother knows what's killing her babies, but what is she to do? That is the only source of water they have. And it might get them by for a few days just so that quench their thirst for a moment, but it's killing them inside. So please help us reach out, as maybe you've done many times before. We're going to keep asking because the needs are there. So please join with us and let's get some fresh water for them.
And you know, Betty, we not only do ask because the need's there, but because we have the answer to the need. There are a lot of needs that we really don't know. There are diseases that we're still battling. That's why Betty and I support St. Jude and other organizations that are trying to find a way and a cure and help those who need help. Well, we have the answer to this need, is fresh water. All we need is the resource to do it, and that's your support. Would you right now dial that number? It's a lifeline. Would you reach out and touch someone with love, literally? Dial the number, take your bank card, use it like a check. That's how you should always use it. If you write a check, make it to Life. That's what you're giving. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org, and you can give the gift immediately there. But please, today, make that life-giving call. Please be an answer to a broken heart like you just heard. And heal that hurt and save those children's lives. We're going to point them to the love of God that led us to give them water. We have some beautiful special gifts to inspire you and bless you, to say thank you. But we're asking you right now, please, go to the phone or go online and make the largest gift you possibly can. If you get a busy, be determined, be persistent, because you're an answer to someone's prayer when you make that call. Thank you for doing it.
Every day, children of all ages are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most effective, life-saving demonstrations of God's love you could ever be a part of. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, you can help establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages impacting over 20 nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request the new Children at the Well interactive book to help your little ones understand the blessing of clean water, as well as the Women at the Well daily devotional with 32 refreshing devotionals for your quiet time. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this beautiful leather journal to help capture your personal times with God.
Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and you may request our commemorative sculptured glass statue, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
Betty, it breaks my heart to think about little children like this, so precious, coming here and living on the side of a dump, and this is where they get water, and it's disease-ridden.
And it's just water that can kill them. And they need some, they drink it, they swim in it, and everything alive walks through it, and we need to help them.
It's really pretty simple, but it takes all of us doing our part, joining together, to give not only a cup of water, as Jesus said, but a well of water. I pray you'll make that life-giving call today, and children and their families in so many parts of the world will receive a chance at life because of the love of God shared through you. I hope we're able to send this to every one of you because you give a well, or you make a gift of $1,200 or more toward one, because we would like to send you a beautiful collectible, beautiful, beautiful art piece that will reflect the light, literally, that is radiates as a result of it. We're also going to send the perfect ending book, Why Your Eternal Future Matters Today. This is fabulous, and I want you to have it. You make a gift, any size, and I want to say to First Baptist Church again, now hear me, thanks for calling Robert Jeffress, one of your own who grew up discipled in your church. I'm glad I preached and he heard me, and perhaps he was encouraged at some point. Thanks for having me preach. Listen, thanks for sharing him with churches and people all over the world. Bless you, First Baptist Church. Would you say thanks to Dr. Robert Jeffress for being here?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, James. Thank you, Betty. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank all of you. Thank you very, very much for helping us give even more than a cup of water. Thanks for it.
Next week, in 1994, George Dinahy nearly died in a Romanian orphanage because he was born without arms. Now he shares God's love through music. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.